Title of our church, and thank God for you tonight. All right, let's go back to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter number 11. The Lord took the message in a different turn this morning, and I'm thankful He knows what we need. And so we'll do our best to give you what the Lord has for us in this hour. In Acts chapter number 11, and I do want to begin reading in verse 21. We'll read down to verse number 26. And if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. And preaching again the same message, can you find me a real Christian? Can you find me a real Christian? I made this statement that being saved and being a Christian sometimes can be different things. It costs nothing to become a Christian, but it costs us something. I'm not talking about money. It costs us something to be one. And there's a price to pay. We do have an enemy. Are you listening? We do have an enemy. The Bible calls the devil our adversary. He's the adversary. And he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord, amen, goes right there, was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. So if y'all give me a little more volume, I'm kind of struggling here. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now Saul, we know, later became Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we're so thankful for, Lord, how you blessed our heart through the singing tonight. And I ask you, Lord, to enable my throat to hold out. I don't know what's going on, but Father, I pray you touch me. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd enable me tonight. And I do thank you again for each one that's gathered in your house. I pray you bless them, encourage them. And Lord, if there's one here not saved, we pray you save them. And Lord, we love you for all you do for us. Bless this message. Put your hand on it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight, again, I'm just going to try to get into the thought. And if the Lord wants me to get sidetracked, we'll do that too. But can you find a real Christian? Now, as you know, I've preached this many times, that the word Christian is only penned in the Word of God three times. You Bible students, preachers, teachers, we all know that to be a fact. The very first time that it's penned is in the text. Now, we have many examples of Christians in the Word of God. Now, particularly the Word itself, the first time it's penned is in the text. Second time it's penned when Paul is dealing with Agrippa. In Acts 26, verse number 28, and Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. As far as we know, Agrippa never got saved. You know where you go if you die almost a Christian? You go to hell. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What did Paul do? Paul gave him his testimony. That's what he did. Paul told him about his life as Saul before he got born again. He told him about what he did and how he persecuted the church. Run havoc, the Bible said, in the church. He brought much confusion to the church, hailing men off and put them in prison. He was a very vile man in the name of religion. That's right. He was vile in religion, thought he was doing God a service. He was blinded. He was dead in trespass and sin. But we know the story of the Damascus Road experience when the Lord saved him there. And, of course, he began to tell him how God saved him, and now he's living for the Lord. And through that, the Spirit of God began to deal with Agrippa's heart about salvation, and he refused it. If you keep reading that chapter, you'll find out very quickly, Agrippa cared more about popularity and the influence of other men than he did going to heaven. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And the last time is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, the words penned. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. So we're in a time, and I preached this morning, where we are ashamed. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed of that, but rather glorify God on that behalf. Hey, folks, again, we're not snooping around for trouble, but those that live for God in this hour will find it. But you know, folks, even in the early church ages, the real Christians still had real battles. They still had to deal with persecution of some kind, worse than us. But yet, can you find me a real Christian? Now, we understand what it means to become a Christian. Several years ago, I don't put them out much. The Lord laid on my heart to write a tract. And I entitled it, Warning, You Are on the Wrong Road. And I had those signs put on it, Do Not Enter, Wrong Way. And in this tract, of course, most Bible tracts kind of go, it's in the same direction. But I said, how to be saved? Number one, realize you need Jesus. See, the world doesn't realize they need Christ. They have no desire for Christ. Folks, till you realize you need Him, you'll never want Him. So you got to realize you need Jesus. Number two, recognize what Jesus has done for you. He committed His love towards us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. Then repent, believe the gospel. Jesus preached repentance. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Believe the gospel. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, Romans 10:19, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then remember, God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we understand how to become a real Christian, but how can you spot one? How can you spot a Christian? Now, again, I'm not trying to upset anybody, but it's not wearing a cross around your neck. You don't spot, I promise you that. And I'm not against, hey, ladies, if you wear a necklace with a cross around, I'm mad about that. Ladies, amen. Y'all forgive me, I'm old timey. And it's not by wearing a Christian t-shirt. And I'm not against those either. I got shirts that have Bible verses on them. I got shirts that, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. But that in itself is not a way to spot a Christian. Now, man, I'm not saying the heathen are wearing them. I remember years ago, I was in a thrift store and looking for some clothes and different things. And I saw a friend of mine's, we have the polo shirts. And I saw one of his church polo shirts in there for sale. Must have been a mad member. I don't know. But I took a picture of it and texted to him. I said, you got clothes in here for sale? He said, buy that shirt, please, and I'll pay you back. But folks, how can we truly spot? There's some biblical things that ought to be happening in us, that ought to be coming out from us. Amen. So I want to notice, and I'm going to have to run through them because actually all of them could be sermons within themselves. Number one, you'll spot them by their fruits. And I know I've been done preaching on this stuff. God's had me kind of hewned in this area a long time. By his fruits. In the book of Matthew chapter number 7, we have three things here. In other words, you said, Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. I just preached that. I know I mentioned it in a sermon maybe last week. It's amazing how God put us back here tonight. You shall know them by their fruits. Verse 18 of Matthew 7, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. I did just preach that. Amen. I know I mentioned it. And so I believe the Lord is interested in us bearing good fruit because that's what the world sees. God knows my heart, but nobody else does. Amen. Have you ever heard that? Stop judging me. God knows my heart. I know that, but we don't. The Lord wants us to bear fruit, good fruit. So those that are born again, that we'll know them by the fruit. What fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Right. Folks, we have corrupt fruit. We understand a good tree can't bear that. But folks, I believe some of God's people can have some rebellious fruit. And that rebellion comes in when, and the Bible calls rebellion as the sin of witchcraft, by the way. Now, rebellion, the Bible said rebellion is bound in the heart of a child, but wrong correction drives it far from him. Now, that's naturally, but spiritually, that's the same message. Rebellion is bound in the heart of one of God's children, too, sometimes, and the rod of correction drives it far from him. The chastening rod. But we have the bad fruit of rebellion. In other words, knowing what God said, but yet saying, I ain't doing that. I hear the preacher. I hear the message. I know what the Bible said, but I'm not doing that. That's rebellious fruit. And I'm afraid we're seeing that producing more in the church age. We're in the Laodicea church age, the Laodicea age. And the word Laodicea means rights of the people. Laodicea means rights of the people. You know what that means? I have a right to do what I want to do. Who said that? Who told you we have a right to do what we want to do? We have a free will. We can do it, but we don't have a right to. Amen. I'm grown. I can do what I want to. As a Christian, we've been bought by a price. Amen. We don't have rights. We give up rights to ourselves. We belong to God. And anything else is rebellious fruit. Yes, that's right. Anything else? And so you spot a Christian by his fruits. What kind of fruits are you bearing? Is it rebellious fruit or righteous fruit? Huh? That's right. So, hey, ye shall know them by their fruits. Notice, secondly, I'm hurrying. You can spot a Christian by his fruits, but also by what he feeds on. Bible says this in Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, we live by the milk of the word, the meat of the word of God, and everything else is garbage. What are we feeding on? What are we, folks, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's in our heart is what we talk about. Amen. If the things of God is on your heart, you talk about it. You're looking for deep, you ain't got it tonight, but sometimes it's good to wait around some. What are we eating? See, folks, we cannot feed on the garbage of the world. They expect to come to church and have the power of God. These old school sermons need to be preached every now and then. Amen. We cannot feed on carnality and the things of the world and gossip and spew out and live carnal and then expect the power of God to be in our lives. You can't. Yeah, if you ain't feeding on the word, if you ain't feeding on prayer, if you ain't feeding on serving, if you ain't feeding on winning souls, if you ain't feeding on doing something for somebody else besides yourself, you can't be filled with the Spirit. What are you feeding on? All of us, folks, everybody here, unless you were sick and couldn't, everybody here ate something for lunch. Preacher, I ain't eat a thing today. Well, I promise you the exception. Because the rest of us made a beeline to somewhere to eat. And that's every day, unless it's a specific day. Maybe you're fasting, praying over something. But as a regular day, we all find something to eat. We're eating on something. And it's the same way in our lives spiritually. We're eating on something, whether spiritually or worldly. And folks, I know, again, this is a disclaimer. I know it's old and elementary, but I promise you one thing. If you eat and feed off the flesh, you will not be filled with the Spirit. It's an impossibility. If you have no relationship with God during the week, don't expect to come in the house of God and be filled with the Spirit and be able to worship Him. It's that simple. It's that simple. And it's one thing, folks, I am responsible for my relationship with God. I am. I am responsible for my relationship with God. And get this, I am not responsible for your relationship with God. You are. I'm responsible to preach the Word of God to you. I'm responsible to be an example unto you. That's as a pastor, that's my responsibility. To be examples to the believers. To feed the flock that's among me. But I am not responsible for your walk with God. You are. See, again, and I want y'all to start praying. Folks, we need a revival. And the Lord's been doing work in my heart. Y'all be praying about that. And I know everybody has a favorite preacher, and it ain't all about the preacher. Amen. It's about a heart. It's a heart matter. And so I don't know what God wants, when He wants it. I just need to help pray about it. But folks, revival isn't in a man, and it isn't in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 services. I've been to a lot of revival meetings, Brother Jack. I've preached them. I've sat in them. We've had them. And I promise you, there's never a bad time to have church. But revival, true awakening comes when we deal with ourselves. Amen. Drawing nigh to God and Him drawing nigh to us. Amen. We think, well, if the pastor would get this preacher to come, we'd have revival. That's hogwash. I don't know one preacher that would amen that. I don't know one pastor, one evangelist. Well, I don't know one that would agree with that. If I come, if they would say that out loud to me, they wouldn't come. But none of them would say, if you walked up to them and said, I wish our pastor would get you, we could have revival. I promise you, if they anything right, they'd say, whoa. Don't say that. That's not biblical. No, revival is in our personal walk with God. If we're drawing nigh to Him in church, we've been saying it, and I've been there. Hey, God, we better be praying. God's been moving. He's been manifesting His presence. People are getting saved. And God has put me in old-time clover here lately. And wait, we better stop wearing these chips on our shoulder, let the Holy Spirit of God deal with us, and get right with God where we need to get right with God. Amen. Stop being prideful. Stop being, hey, you're not going to help me. I'm not going to let you. Revival's not coming to you. I want God to help me. Again, where your precious wife comes in, and she knew it was going to happen, that I'd be murmuring about this thing. I said, I hate this thing. I don't like it. It said the devil. I didn't say that. And I get this response, well, I guess you know more than the doctor. Let's put it back on. We get a mentality, I don't need anybody's help. God knows what you need more than you do. We have to receive it. And when we receive it, obey it. There's a purpose. We may not see a purpose that God would have us do this, and I don't see what the big deal is. It doesn't matter what you see, really. It matters about obeying Him. That's the key. Trust and obey. And so we find here, what do we feed on? And then we'll spot a real Christian by what he fellowships with. The Bible tells us this. 2 Corinthians 6:14, what communion hath light with darkness? Righteousness with unrighteousness. You can't, hey, the Bible says come out from among them. Come out from among them. Who is them? The unsaved, the ungodly. And he's not telling us to not to be kind, not be Christ-like, not to love, but we cannot yoke. We folks, there's no way you can be close-knit friends with someone that is not saved. You are not. Well, I can be an example. Yeah, that's what Israel said. Not one pagan country did they lead to God. Every pagan country led them away from God. Study them. God told them to separate, not to marry them. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Again, I'm not talking about not loving people, and I'm not talking about not being a witness, not being kind, but you cannot be close-knit friends with the world. Because they will always hurt you. You will not really help them. Don't act like you're better than them. Don't walk around with your nose up in the air. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? When I'm talking about yoking? You understand? You understand what I'm saying? But God's people are trying to walk a tightrope instead of being over here with God. They want to see just how close they can be to the world and be with God. And I promise you're going to fall over to the wrong side. Every time, you're going to fall over to the wrong side. You'll spot a real Christian by who they fellowship with, who you yoke with. Who are you yoking with? Do you have any Christian friends? Do you have any Christian friends that you talk about the Lord to? That you pray with each other over with? Do you have any? It's quiet. Are you listening? Bless me. Me and Taylor was together yesterday, and he began to talk to me about the book of Colossians. That blessed me. Encouraged me. We got to talk about the church of Colossae. Who they were. What Paul did there. That's a great conversation. Sometimes Brother Andrew texts me about a verse, or we'll talk. Somebody, we cut up a little bit, but we talk. That's a blessing. Amen. Who are you fellowshipping with? What communion hath light with darkness? Then by what you forsake. I'm just going through this outline tonight. By what you forsake. Bible said in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What are you forsaking? You'll spot a Christian by what he will forsake. You'll find a Christian by what the way he forgives. Well, that's a camp out right there. Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, he won't forgive you. A lot of people asking forgiveness and ain't getting it. There's a stipulation. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. But yet he says, I won't do it if you walk around with unforgiveness in your heart. Nobody holds grudges like church people. Hello. Nobody holds grudges like people, like Baptist people. I don't know about the rest of the denominations. I'm not one. But I'm sure it's probably about the same. Nobody's going to apologize and nobody's going to forgive. Well, I don't know why we can't have revival. Then we take that spirit to the job. Come on. And we find another Christian who is as bitter as we are. We'll find them on our lunch break. Then we'll begin to spew it out around all these unsaved people. You couldn't win them to Christ if you tried now. I hate my preacher. I can't stand the choir. Can't stand so-and-so I sit beside. They talk about me. Please don't say that when you're doing the same thing. Ain't we having a time tonight? God's people forgive. God's people forgive. You know, there's a law of forgiveness. If that brother comes to you and confesses his fault, you forgive him. It's the law of forgiveness. Amen. Then there's grace and forgiveness. Amen. Bible said when you pray, if you have ought against any, forgive them. In other words, if they've asked for it or not. There's law and grace and forgiveness. And every time I preach forgiveness, somebody will either get me at the door or somebody's going to text me or somebody is watching now saying, what if this happened? What if that happened? What if the other happened? It's always, preacher, I've got a situation that gives me a leeway not to forgive. No, don't exist. I'm going to tell you something else I see people posting. Forgiveness doesn't mean, and I don't know how he's worded, forgiveness doesn't mean that you got to have him in your life anymore. Now, I understand what they're saying. You don't have to be best friends. But folks, if you can say I forgive them, but you still don't have any desire to be in their presence, you hadn't forgive them. I can forgive but not forget. We can't forget, but we can do this. When God gives us grace to forgive them, when we hear their name, we see their presence, we don't get all the pieces anymore. Come on. I'm going to tell you something else some of y'all ain't going to like. You've been done wrong and you've done people wrong. We all have. Maybe not. That wasn't your goal or what you were setting out to do, but it's happened. Come on. You wasn't setting out to hurt your wife's feelings when you bit into them taters and they was kindly scorched and you made a face. My wife didn't do that. I'm just giving an example. My wife's an excellent cook. Exhibit A. Boy, y'all think y'all quick. I'm quicker than all. You wasn't setting out, but it happened. And you know what? You knew better, but you done it anyway. That quick it happened. And instead, God forgive me, instead of trying to play it off, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Come on. Everybody here has said something to somebody before you thought. And it's been offensive. Now again, everybody gets offended nowadays, but some of us very genuine. You said it before you thought. You went off the handle before you thought. I'm guilty. I'm not bragging about it. I hate it. That shows that I wasn't in the spirit at the moment. I was in the flesh. Come on. I can't remember where we were, what was happening, Faith. I can't remember. And you said, don't say nothing. Huh? Yeah, what was we eating? Okay, that's fine. Well, everybody don't need to hear it. I'm sorry, baby. She said, don't say nothing. You know what she was doing? She's doing the work of the Holy Ghost. Because I have said stuff in a restaurant. And I say, boy, that wasn't Christ-like. So now my wife and daughter, they already give me a heads up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Remember who we are. We're God's people. And we've all done it. On a job. At the house. And we have had to ask for forgiveness. And folks, preacher, what you talking about ain't no big deal. Folks, give me a big deal then. But every time that I offend the Holy Ghost is very sensitive. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of redemption. And when I offend the Lord, the Spirit of God is grieved in me. And every time I confess it to Him, He forgives me. And guess what's reinstated? Fellowship. However, we live in a time, men and preacher men, there's so much pride that we will simply not say, I understand. Hey, instead of listening to respond, listen to understand. And say, I can see how you would, even though in your heart, that ain't what I meant, but I can see where it was taken that way. And I'm sorry. But God's people, we are our own worst enemies from getting revival, and it's the spirit of unforgiveness. Right. It's the spirit of unforgiveness. Peter said, Lord, how many times can my brother trespass against me and I have to forgive him? Seven times? Seven times. You know, Peter's already calculating. I'm fixing to blow his man out. God's fixing to give me permission. I done forgave him seven times. Now, number eight is the number of new beginnings. I'm going to begin something with him. Or said, no, buddy. 70 times seven. 70 times seven. 490. How many of you know somebody that's offended you 490 times? Let's take the number logically. I mean, literally. Well, I understand it means it's completeness no matter how many. I've been pastoring this church almost 28 years. Been pastoring some of you that long or near that long. Not one of y'all has offended me 490 times. I'm sure I'd remember it. And I hope I've not offended you 490 times. So I think, Brother Jack, we're safe that if I offend you and you tell me that I ask for forgiveness, it'll work. And if I'm not mistaken, when I ask the Lord to forgive me, that's never brought up again. So as though it never happened, we never get off of one. Chew on that. So we'll never get to 490. There's too much of that. Build a bridge, get over it. By the way, we know God's people by the way they forgive. We know God's people by who they fear. Who they fear. But folks, I understand. Man, I done went too long. I understand. Some of you got to drive. It's getting dark. I understand. We fear and reverence our parents. I did. And that kept me out of trouble.
That's right.
A lot of some trouble. And folks, we feared God, that He sees all, knows all, and He'll deal with us righteously. We'd behave.
That's right.
And then we'll know a real Christian by how he finishes the race. Paul said, I've finished my course. Stephen said, the Bible said he's faced his shine like an angel. God's people finishes different. I've seen it. Finish different. God's people die different. It's one of the most peaceful things you'll ever witness. Amen. I was just, matter of fact, I was talking to my wife yesterday about Brother Ed Smith, Big Ed. Some of y'all remember him. I was by his bedside. It was me, Lee Murray Oliver, and his sister Judy. We was by his bedside when he died. And I was still young. I ain't seen a lot of people die. And we was by his bedside, and I don't know, his sister kind of turned and he took his last breath. And it was so peaceful, but I just got excited. I said, he's gone. I like to raise him up. He's gone. And Judy aggravated me about that. She said, Tommy scared me to death. But it was so peaceful. The man literally looked at me and Lee Merle and smiled at us and went to sleep. And I mean, give us the biggest smile. And that man had suffered for several weeks. It was like release. It's like, man, this mess is over. Huh? This mess is over. He was being released from this old body of death, this old body of sin, this old body of corruptness. And you could see it in his eyes. He just smiled. And I've seen it time and time and time again. Miss Sherry Schultz died, and she raised up, looked at one of her daughter-in-laws that wasn't saved, laid down and went to heaven. And she got saved in the funeral. Whew. God's people do it different. It's not a dread. Now I understand we all have a dread of death until dying grace comes. There's a such thing called dying grace. And when it comes, you'll die different. Praise His name. I'm glad I'm saved. Church, I love you. Let's all stand. Miss Lisa, come on. I don't know what you might need tonight. God's able.